Welcome to the Ignite Church Podcast. We pray that this message will inspire you to grow and develop your faith. We encourage you to lean in and listen to what God wants to speak into your heart.
We are in Holy Week, and people refer to Holy Week as the week that we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we are to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ every single day, not just on a particular holiday, right? It's not even proven that it was actually this week, but it's the closest that people believe, so that's why they celebrate it. So today I want to share with you something that God ministered to me as I was preparing for this small little word about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's found in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 41 through 43. And it says, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. So I want to pause there for a moment. Let's talk a little bit of what's happening now. Jesus is now at the point of, they're already crucifying Jesus, right? And here are the chief high priests. They're mocking Jesus. They're laughing at Jesus. They're saying, if you are the one who you say you are, then come down from there. And then if you come down from there, we'll believe in you. Yet they couldn't believe everything else. You know, it's interesting that as people of God, we see miracles every single day, and yet it's hard for us to believe God for a miracle in our lives.
Yeah.
A miracle is just basically waking up in the morning and breathing air. That's a miracle. How many people do not wake up every single day? You know, there's people that don't wake up. People didn't get out of bed today.
Yeah.
A miracle is that you got strength to get out of bed today. A miracle is that you had food to eat today. How many people around the world didn't have something to eat today? So here they are. If you come down from there, you say yourself that you could save. You know, if you come down from there, we will believe.
Yeah.
I don't think they will believe. If they didn't believe the miracles that he did then, how would they believe if he comes down from there? And verse 45 continues to say, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When I was reading this scripture, and you know, every time I read this story, I don't know about you, but I learn through visuals, right? And when I read the Bible, it's like if I'm watching a movie. Does that happen to you, that you're like there and you're like, what's going on, and you're seeing the things moving around? And so here I am, right? And I imagine myself there looking at the cross. There's three crosses, Jesus in the middle, two thieves next to him, right? And now it's getting to the ninth hour. It says from the sixth to the ninth hour, where there was darkness all over the land. And I picture, like, the devil thought he had won. He was like laughing. He's like, I'm covering the land with my darkness. It's like, ha ha ha. Has it ever happened to you that you're going through a circumstance and you feel like the enemy is probably laughing at you because everything around you is just pure darkness, and yet you don't see the light? So here it is. I imagine in my head, you know, like all this darkness covering around the land, and here's Jesus, and he's crying out to the Father, which is a powerful cry, because sometimes we think that Jesus wasn't human. Jesus was human. He was God made man. And he says that there came a point that he fell forsaken. He fell forsaken. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let's pause there for a moment. Have you ever felt forsaken by God? It's not that God forsaked you, but you felt forsaken by God. There's probably you're going through a circumstance or a situation that you feel like, God, where are you? You were with me yesterday, but today, I don't see you, I don't feel you, I don't hear you, I don't know where you're at. But the beautiful thing about the Word of God is that God was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Amen.
If he was with you yesterday, he'll be with you today, and he'll be with you tomorrow. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So here comes now the following verse, verse 49, or a little bit more verses ahead, verse 49. Here's now the scribes again and all the mockers and stuff. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him, because they thought he was crying out to Elijah. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. This, you know, if you read this in the book of Mark or in the book of Luke, you'll see that Jesus said, it is finished. Here in the book of Matthew, it's saying that he yielded his spirit. He breathed his last breath. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Have you ever wondered for a moment why the death on the cross? Like, why Jesus? Like, we hear stories when we're growing up. Mostly kids hear about the story about Jesus, you know, the cross. If you probably were raised Catholic or had some type of Christian background somewhere, somehow, that you were raised always talking about the cross. Or you see the cross, like your grandma probably had a rosario, you know, or they gave you, I'm Cuban, so they'll give you the little cross on your necklace. You know something about Jesus.
Yeah.
And probably the only thing to your limited understanding at the time when you're little is that there's a guy on a cross. What does that guy on the cross represent? I ask you today, what does that guy on the cross represent to you? Why Jesus? Why the death of Jesus? Was there any other way that man could be redeemed to God? Was there any other possible way that man could come back to God? Am I the only weirdo that ever thought this or thinks about this? You know, in this time of the year when we're remembering the death of Christ on the cross and celebrating his resurrection, sometimes I think about that. God, couldn't you have chosen a different way?
Yeah.
Wasn't there another way? Yeah. You know, did it really have to be the cross? You know, you're almighty. Couldn't there have been another way to save man? Another creative way? Why a death on a cross? Am I the only weirdo? Or have you guys ever thought about that? You know, I wrote here in my notes, sometimes we face circumstances where we feel that there is no other option, no other alternative. I believe that Jesus felt the same way. The heat of day, the night before he was crucified or taken before the people that accused him, he cried out to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was crying out of pain and anguish. He was praying because he felt what was about to happen. He saw in his spirit what was about to happen. And it says that he cried out, that it was anguish and pain, that there was tears of like sweats of blood on his face. Man, you have to be in a lot of excruciating pain for blood to come out of your pores. And this is the pain that he felt. It wasn't pain that he felt so much for himself, but the pain of the world that was falling on him. The sin of the world that was falling on him. Remember we said the darkness filled the land? It was the darkness that was falling on him. But you see, sometimes we want different alternatives and different options to get out of our circumstances and situations. Jesus probably did want that too, because he said, God, if you could take this cup from me, this cup of wrath, this cup of pain, this cup of misunderstanding, this cup of I don't know how to get out of here, this cup of why don't I haven't received my miracle, if there's any way that I could get this cup out away from me or from me, let not my will be done, but your will be done. Yeah. Jesus longed for his will. So I keep on asking myself, if indeed it had to happen, was there any other method, possibly not involving the death on a cross? Well, no. And it's all summed up in one verse in the Bible, actually. It's in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. You know, it's funny because when we talk about Old Testament, a lot of people don't like Old Testament.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's Old Testament. We don't read Old Testament. Well, if you don't believe in the Old Testament, you can't believe in the New Testament, because you can't believe half of the Bible and not the full. You have to believe in the full Bible. And the Old Testament is overshadowing of what will be accomplished in the New Testament. Look at what Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says. I love this verse because I think it sums up why the death, why the cross. There was no other way. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Amen.
And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. There is life in the blood. There is life in the blood. If they were to remove all the blood from your body today, or if you were to lose large amounts of blood, even though you might have all your organs, even though you might have everything vital, but if you do not have blood, you have no life.
Yeah.
There is life in the blood. What do they pull? What do they take from you to know what's going on in your inside? They use blood to know what's going on, to know what your organs are doing, to understand if there's something wrong with you. What do they take? Blood.
Yeah.
There is life in the blood. Since the beginning, man failed God. And there was a huge gap that distanced us from God. It's called sin. And God gave man the law. The law is, you know, the Ten Commandments, right? That God gave Moses. And he gave the law to show man that they were in need of a savior. For man to justify their acts, even though many people use the law to justify their act. But the law was given like a mirror to see, man, I can't do this. I need Jesus. I can't fulfill my life. I can't live because I am a sinner. The law was given as a mirror to help us see that we need a savior. God had given Israel a list of sacrifices. And if you read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, right? You'll see like a bunch of weird stuff, right? Have you ever read those books and you're like, what in the world? You shall take 10 lambs and slaughter them for your children. You shall take this and eat. And you're like reading that and you're like, ugh, like, do I really have to read this part of the Bible? Could I just skip over this book?
Right.
Does this book even have any anything relevant for me today? Everything in the Bible is God-inspired and everything is relevant. You know, you learn from it. We just learned in Leviticus the power of the blood.
Amen.
See, God gave Israel a list of sacrifices. And there was one day that there was a specific sacrifice that was supposed to be done. It was called the Day of Atonement. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of history background. So the Day of Atonement was a day that the people will get ready to be somewhat forgiven of their sin. And the only way that they could be forgiven of their sin, better yet said, their sin covered, right? Because their sin was not removed, their sin covered, was that they had to bring an offering to God. But they couldn't present the offering to God. The high priest had to present the offering to God. And if you go back in the Old Testament, there's the temple of God, and there's different courtyards in different areas of the temple. And one of the areas of the temple is the holy place, right? That's where the priest would have a minister, not before God, but just right before God. Because there was something that was dividing man and God.
Right.
It was called the veil. The veil of the holy place to the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was known as the place where God will meet with man. And it would happen once a year that the high priest will come in before God. And the purpose of the high priest coming before God was representing the people of God. But in order for the high priest to come before God, he had to be clean. He had to take special bath, wear special clothing, and he had to be found spotless. Because if he was found with guilt, the Bible says that he would die because no sin could enter the presence of God. But when he presented the Day of Atonement, it says that he would present an offering for him and his family, but also for the people of Israel. And if it was a pleasing offering to God, then the people will be atoned. Their sin will be covered. But the interesting thing about this is that the sin was covered. It wasn't removed. It wasn't extracted. It wasn't defeated. It was just covered. It's like having a wound and putting a Band-Aid. You know, you put a Band-Aid on it, and it takes time to heal, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the scar is going to go away.
Right.
So there came a time where the priest had to come, present himself before God, and if it was acceptable, the sin was covered. I think that many times as humans, we do the same thing. We probably don't present a goat, a lamb, you know, whatever God required at that moment. But sometimes we think that our good overcomes our bad. Like it outdoes our bad. And you're not saved by merit. You're not saved by your accomplishments. You're not saved by your actions. The Bible says you're saved by faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It's because of his righteousness that we are saved. Right? So as I was reading this, I came to understand that, you know, we live in a society, a very I could do it type of society, you know, like, oh, you know what, I've done a lot of bad, but look at how much good I've done. So it kind of outweighs. And they think that God is using that balance, you know, where good is here and bad is here. And if you do more good, it'll weigh more down, right? But God is not in the business of seeing your good and your bad. God is in the business of redeeming you.
Amen.
You see, the people of Israel were atoned, but it was just a covering of the sin. So if you want to put it in a scale, probably the scale was like very, like, I've covered this much sin.
Amen.
Say with me, there's life in the blood.
There's life in the blood.
There's life in the blood. Like I said earlier, this week around the world, people are celebrating Holy Week. It is the week where we celebrate, remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, many people celebrated Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was known as the day that Jesus rode on a donkey entering Jerusalem. And as he was entering Jerusalem, there was people that got palms and they started waving and putting it on the floor and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. That was Sunday, right? Sunday. Say with me, Sunday.
Sunday.
Jesus, the Son of Man, was walking into Jerusalem knowing the end had come. Listen to this. The end to his mission, the end to his journey, and soon he will be taken without cause, accused of wrong he did not do. Jesus knew that although he was being praised on Sunday and lauded as the King of Israel, on Friday of the same week, he will hear the same people screaming to the top of their lung, crucify him, crucify him. Doesn't that sound like us? On Sunday, we praise God.
Come on.
We go to church.
Come on.
We lift up our hands. Oh, praise Hosanna, Hosanna. But on Monday, we forget about him.
Wow.
On Tuesday, we don't even read our Bible. On Wednesday, we don't even have the strength to pray. On Thursday, we forget we're even Christ followers. And on Friday, we act like if the world is falling apart and we have no Savior. Yeah. On Sunday, they praised him. But yet on Friday, they crucified him. Mm. Why? Why would God, Almighty God, give his Son to such a perverse generation that will praise him on a Sunday and kill him on a Friday?
Wow.
Why not an alternative? Why would I wouldn't give my son. I only have one son and he's annoying. I love him, but he's annoying, but he's my son.
Amen.
He is my son. Yeah. I would not give my son. I'm sorry.
Mm.
He's my son.
Yeah.
Why would God give his, did he not love Jesus? Did he not consider Jesus?
Yeah.
I think he did. But this is what I wrote here in my notes as I was preparing for this. He did love Jesus, but he loved you too. God knew that the life was in the blood and there was no substitution. Like when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, that God substituted by presenting a lamb. God knew that at this time, the lamb was his son.
Yeah.
And he valued us too much to let us go to waste, because he valued Jesus and he valued us. He gave Jesus for our redemption. Yeah. Think about this. Yes, God loved Jesus, but he loved you too. And if it meant that he had to give his son to redeem you, then that was the plan, because he longed for a relationship with you. That is amazing. I've never thought about it like that until I was writing this up today and I was like, well, you love Jesus, but you love me too. But you love me so much that you're willing to give your son in order to redeem me.
Wow.
God never gives something that he's gonna lose. He always gains. We know what happened on Sunday.
Hallelujah.
See, blood was required and only once a year the high priest could enter, right? But that offering that the high priest could offer, it was just a substitution of the real thing. Jesus was the only one and the only sacrifice.
Wow.
I wrote here, Jesus was not just any other sacrifice of the Day of Atonement. He was the atonement. John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29 says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Old Testament, you brought a lamb, you brought a goat, you brought a pigeon, you brought a bunch of stuff. It covered your sin. Your good outweighed your bad.
Yeah.
But it would just cover it. New Testament, the offering was given. God said, I love you too much. I have to give you my son in order to redeem you. Because the only way was to give blood. There's life in the blood. Jesus became that offering. He is the one who takes away the sin of the world. I end with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 10 says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, and he establishes the second. By that, we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. I'm going to repeat that one more time. By that, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus was the one who could only fulfill the law, not the high priest. He became the high priest, and he gave himself as a sinless, spotless lamb of God. There is power in the blood. If death was the only way, I believe God nailed it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
If death was the only way, then I believe God nailed it. You see, when Jesus died, something happened that many times we overlook as Christians. But also, the people of that day, they didn't understand or perceive. It says that the earth quaked and the veil tore from top to bottom. Remember I told you that there was a veil that separated the holy from the holies of holies, right? Mm-hmm. That holies of holies is where God's presence was. And it says that when Jesus died, when he gave up his spirit, that there was that long, you know, that quake on the earth and the rock split. It says that the veil tore. I want you to understand this. Because sometimes we think that of a veil is like una cortina in the house. This veil was 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. Wow. Yeah. You couldn't break this. But listen to this. It didn't say that it tore from bottom to top, meaning man tore it. No, God tore it from top to bottom, giving you and I access to him.
Amen.
Complete freedom. That's why there's a verse in the Bible that says, for we could approach the throne of grace with boldness and gladness.
Yeah.
He tore the veil in two from top to bottom, saying, my son has completed what needed. There's life in the blood, no longer division, no longer one person can enter my presence, but anyone who longs to enter my presence has freedom to do so. The veil that separated you and I from coming to the Almighty is now undone. You have free access. Jesus nailed it.
Amen.
So I just want to finish with that. I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, we celebrate Easter this week. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Sometimes we think so much about the resurrection and we don't remember the death.
Yeah.
The life is in the blood. That's why death could not hold him back.
Come on.
That's why it's funny because when I envision, you know, the centurions and the Romans putting the rock, they didn't realize that the rock was temporary.
Come on.
You know, the people that went thinking, oh, I'm gonna, you know, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary that went in the morning, that Sunday morning with the spices to embalm him, you know, they were thinking, oh, well, we're gonna put Jesus away, but they didn't realize that there was just temporary.
Amen.
You might be going through something in life today that you think that it's eternal, but just remember, Friday might seem like eternal, but Sunday's coming.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus nailed it.
That's good.
Yeah.
He broke the veil. He gave us freedom to come before the Father.
Amen.
And worship. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know God, you don't have a relationship. You see, Jesus didn't die on the cross and said, here's my religion. Follow this, do that. No, he said, just believe. He who believes in the name of the Lord shall be saved. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. So if you want to know Jesus, if you want to have that relationship with God, I just say a simple prayer and say, God, you know, I need you. I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've sinned, but today I recognize that you took away my sin when you died on the cross. So I accept that. I accept that free gift of salvation, God. I need you. If you did that simple prayer, I want you to send us a direct message and let us know, hey, I made that simple prayer. I needed Jesus. I needed this word today. We want to know. That encourages us to continue broadcasting this and blessing you guys. And send us a prayer request. If you have a prayer request, something you want us to pray for, I'd be more than willing to pray and believe God for your breakthrough.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out Ignite Church Podcast. We pray that today's message ignites your passion and your faith in God.